We're discussing Lashon Hara, the Rosh's admonition not to relate, not to accept Lashon Hara. Last night we discussed Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky's analysis of the Torah's telling us the story of the Mechiras Yosef, the sale of Yosef, why the Torah tells us that if that's Lashon Hara. One of Rabbi Yaakov's answers is that there is no biblical prohibition of Lashon Hara on the dead, and therefore it's okay. I remember years ago, about 5 years ago, I read on one of the Jewish music blogs, somebody was reviewing a tape they put out, a recording of Yosla Rosenblatt. So the reviewer said, I'm really nervous, I'm really scared before I start this review because Lashon Hara is terrible in general and certainly on a dead person. So I commented, I said, actually, Lashon Hara is probably less serious on a dead person than a live person. A live person, it's an Isra Daraisa. On a dead person, it's not clear what it is. So Rabbi Yaakov says that on a dead person, there is no Lav Daraisa. What there is, he brings a halacha from the Rishonim in Hilchos Yom Kippur. In Hilchos Yom Kippur, the Shulchan Aruch says, the Mordechai, the German Rishonim, there is a cherem against being motzi laz, a cherem hakadmonim, an ancient cherem, an ancient ban against being motzi laz al ha-mesim, al ha-shochnei offer. So Rabbi Yaakov says, the cherem is a sort of drabanan. A lot of debate in the halachic literature what a cherem is, but it certainly seems to be some kind of rabbinic institution. So A, Rabbi Yaakov says it is only drabanan, it is not daraisa. B, it is only hotzat shemra, only hotzat laz, hotzat shemra, only falsehood, falsely libeling the dead. Saying something true about the dead is not usur, not daraisa, and not prohibited by the cherem. Both Rabbi Yaakov's things, both Rabbi Yaakov's kulos, A, that there's no daraisa here at all. B, even the cherem is only for lashon hara, only for motzi shemra, not lashon hara. Both those things are disputed by other contemporary writers, other contemporary authorities. Some argue that it is daraisa. In general, the fact that Rabbeinu Gershom made a cherem doesn't mean there's no daraisa. And sometimes he made a cherem, we find in other examples, to strengthen a daraisa, which people weren't following. So it doesn't mean there's no daraisa. Some say that the Isra daraisa is both Lashon Hara and Motzi Shemra. In general, it's a subject of some debate, although I don't know if anyone says that it's actually worse than unlive people, but it's also bad. Daraisa, drabanan. The truth is, the Mordechai, who brings this cherem against being motzi shemra on the Rishonim, he brings a medrash, a tanchuma. It says that Moshe spoke critically of Klal Yisrael, and Hashem was upset. Hashem felt Moshe had done something wrong. So Moshe retorted to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you're criticizing me for criticizing Klal Yisrael. You criticize Klal Yisrael. And Moshe quoted all kinds of psukim where Hashem spoke using negative terms about Klal Yisrael. So Moshe said, what did I do? I just said, Hinei kamtem tachas avaseichem, Tarbus Anashim Chataim. You have arisen after your fathers, a nation of Anashim Chataim. So Hashem said, good. You want to call them Chataim? Fine. But Avosechem, their ancestors, Avraham Yitzchak and Yaakov, what gives you the right to call them Chataim? So even though they were dead, the Mordechai says, you see that you're not supposed to libel the dead. So Lemaisa, this was a case of falsehood. Hashem was saying this was unjust. They were not Chataim. Maybe the Klal Yisrael were Chataim. Avraham Yitzchak and Yaakov were not. So that might indicate that the Avla here is only falsehood. Nevertheless, there are some who learn that both the Cherem and even the Issa Daraisa may apply both to Lashon Hara and Motzi Shemra, even on the dead. Another interesting aspect of Lashon Hara, this goes back to the general core questions of what is Lashon Hara, what is L'Toelas, a very interesting, terse little passage in the Chafetz Chaim. Chafetz Chaim discusses what happens if you see someone selling something to somebody else and you think the customer can get a better price somewhere else. Should you tell the customer? Should you mix in? So the Chafetz Chaim says it depends. If the customer, we discussed Ono last week, if the seller is overcharging to the point that he's being violating the biblical prohibition against Ono, you should definitely tell. The seller's a crook. He's violating a mitzvah daraisa. Definitely tell the customer, save him from being cheated, Ono, by the seller. If, however, the seller is not violating Ono, the Chafetz Chaim indicates, then you should not tell the customer. In spite of the fact that he can do better somewhere else, you should keep your mouth shut. The Chafetz Chaim actually talks about a case of Ono less than a shtus, a small amount of Ono, which actually is a machlokes, a suffix in the Rishonim, whether there's an Isra Daraisa of Ono or not. The Chafetz Chaim, therefore, is mesupik. If he's doing a suffix Ono, should you tell him? Should you not tell him? Shev al tasa. The Chafetz Chaim's basic assumption seems to be, if he's doing something wrong, you should tell. If he's not doing anything wrong, you shouldn't tell. And if it's a suffix, then the halacha is not clear. So the basic assumption of the Chafetz Chaim that you should not tell the customer as long as the seller is not doing anything wrong is interesting. He seems to fail at some form of Lashon Hara, even though, what's Lashon Hara? I'm telling you, you can get a better deal somewhere else. Go down the street, not doing anything wrong. You can do better. Nevertheless, the Chafetz Chaim seems to feel that that is prohibited. We'll discuss perhaps tomorrow, we'll elaborate on this point, whether it is indeed prohibited to tell a customer he can do better somewhere else, if just because the seller is not doing anything wrong, does that actually prohibit you from interfering or not? Why or why not?